जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। निताई गौर प्रेमानंदे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 6। चैप्टर 6 इज एंटाइटल्ड प्रहलाद इंस्ट्रक्ट्स हिज डेमोनियक स्कूलमेट्स। टुडे वी आर ऑन टेक्स्ट 17 एंड 18। दैट्स करेक्ट ना? So we'll read 17 in the vocative.
Yato na kaschit kvacha kutra chidva. Yato na kaschit kvacha kutra chidva. Dina swamatmana malam samarthaha. दीनं स्वमात्मनाम आलाम समर्थः विमोचितुं कामदृशं विहारा विमोचितुं कामदृशं विहारा क्रीडा मृगो यन्निगदो विसर्गः क्रीडा निगो यन्निगडो विगसर्गः।
द नेक्स्ट वन इज ऑल्सो देयर ऑन द बोर्ड, सो विल जस्ट डू दिस।
यतो न कश्चित् क्वच कुत्रचिद्वा दीन स्वमात्मनम् अलं समर्थः विमोचितुं कामदृशं विहार क्रीडा मृगो यन्निगदो विसर्गः यतो न कश्चित् क्वच कुत्रचिद्वा दीन स्वमात्मनम् अलं समर्थः विमोचितुं कामदृशं विहार क्रीडा मृगो यन्निगदो विसर्गः यतो न कश्चित् क्वच कुत्रचिद्वा दीन स्वम् आत्मनम् अलं समर्थः विमोचितुं कामदृशं विहार क्रीडा मृगो यन्निगदो विसर्गः यतो न कश्चित् क्वच कुत्रचिद्वा Dinam svam atmanam alam samarthaha vimochitum kamadrisham vihara krida mrigo yannigado visargaha. Vaishnavis, Yato na kashchit kvacha kudra chedva Dina sva atmanam alam samarthaha Vimochitum kamadrisham vihara Vyannigado visargaha. Yato na kashchit kvata kudra chedva Dina sa atmanam alam samarthaha Vimochitum kamadrisham vihara Krida mrigo yannigado visargaha. Word to word translation, yata, because, na, never, kaschit, anyone, kva, in any place, cha, also, kutrachit, at any time, va, or, dina, having a poor fund of knowledge, svam, own, atmanam, self, alam, exceedingly, samarthaha, able, vimochitum, to liberate, kamadrisham, of lusty woman, vihara, in the sexual enjoyment, kridamrigaha, a playboy, yat, in whom, nigadaha, which is the shackle of material bondage. Visargaha, the expansions of family relationships. Tata, in such circumstances. Vidurat, from far away. Parihitya, giving up. Daitya, O my friends, sons of the demons. Daityeshu, among the demons. Sangam, association, vishaya atmakeshu, who are too addicted to sense enjoyment. Upeta, one should approach. Narayanam, Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Adidevam, the origin of all demigods. Sa, he, mukta sange, by the association of liberated persons. Ishita, desired. Apavarga, the path of liberation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, my dear friends, O son of the demons, it is certain that no one bereft of the knowledge of Supreme Personality of Godhead has been able to liberate himself from material bondage at any time or in any country. Rather, those bereft of knowledge of the Lord are bound by the material laws. They are factually addicted to sense gratification and their target is woman. Indeed, they are actually playthings in the hands of attractive women. Victimized by such a conception of life, they become surrounded by children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and thus they are shackled to material bondage. Those who are very much addicted in this conception of life are called demons. Therefore, although you are sons of demons, keep aloof from such persons and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, the origin of all the demigods. Because the ultimate goal for the devotees of Narayan is liberation from the bondage of material existence. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj has maintained the philosophical point of view that one should give up the dark well of family life and go to the forest to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hitvatma patam grihamandakupam vanam gatoya dharim ashrateya. In this verse, he stresses the same point. In the history of human society, no one at any time or place has been liberated because of too much affection and attachment for his family life. Even in those who are apparently very educated, the same family attachment is there. They cannot give up the association of their families even in old age or invalidity, for they are attached to sense enjoyment. As we have several times discussed, yan maithunadi grihameda sukham grihamandanetam sukham hi tuccham, so-called householders are simply attracted by sexual enjoyment. Thus, they keep themselves shackled in family life, and furthermore, they want their children to be shackled in the same way. Playing the parts of playboys in the hands of women, they glide down to the darkest regions of material existence. Adanta gobir vishatam tamishram puna punasi charvita charvananam. Because they are unable to control their senses, they continue a life of chewing the chewed and therefore descend to the darkest material regions. One should give up the association of such demons and adhere to the association of devotees. Thus, one will be able to be liberated from material bondage. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripatamaham vande shri guru dinatarinam vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhyayvacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So we are continuing to hear the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj to his demoniac schoolmates. Obviously, he was studying in a demon school under the tutelage. Like, his tutors were Shanda and Amarka, the famous sons of Shukracharya. So he's in that school and he's continuing to instruct his classmates. And these are some of the most beautiful verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, where he's giving instructions. They're all five-year-old children actually, but he's giving instructions which are ageless. They are valid even today in Kali Yuga. Prahlad Maharaj was there in Satya Yuga, as we know. Narasimha Dev appeared in Satya Yuga. But even now, these instructions are so valid, all the more. You know, this attachment to women and all that he's talking about. So these are some of the sublime teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. And then further, when he talks to his father, we'll also hear some more sublime teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to relish and hear over and over and over again. So Dhruv Maharaj's pastime and Prahlad Maharaj's pastimes were two favorite pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he used to ask Gadadhar Pandit to keep repeating for him. So he's reminding us over here in this particular verse, he's reminding his classmates and obviously all of us that the greatest attachment in this material world is the attachment to women. That is what once again Prahlad Maharaj is reminding over here. He is also telling at the beginning of the verse that one cannot
think of liberating oneself from the shackles of material bondage by the dint of material education. So he's saying that one cannot hope that, you know, they are materially well educated, but they have no knowledge. They are bereft of the knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan. They cannot hope to be liberated. They cannot hope to cross the ocean of birth, disease, old age and death. They cannot hope to go out of the material world at all. So that is what Prahlad Maharaj is stressing over here. And he's saying that no amount of material education can actually give one the knowledge of how to overcome the attachment to women. So he's saying one who doesn't have the knowledge, who's bereft of the knowledge of the Supreme Lord, but who has a high material education, which means the knowledge of how to live in this world very nicely, and, you know, just pursue their own goals and dreams and their own attachments to their family, friends, country, everything. So if they have that knowledge, but they don't have any knowledge, then they are actually getting sucked down deep and deep into the well of material existence. That's what Prabhupada is also explaining. Prabhupada has quoted some beautiful verses which will come later in the Bhagavatam when Prahlad Maharaj is talking to Hiranyakashipu, the Grihamandakrupam, the Grahamedi verse. So these are some of the verses which Prahlad Maharaj will talk to his father to open his eyes that you are actually a Grahamedi who is just sucked up in, you know, your own world, and you are not seeing beyond that and looking at the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is the ultimate goal of human form of life. So we see, like, you know, corroborating Prahlad Maharaj's teachings, we see in today's world as well, like he's saying no amount of material education can actually give one the knowledge of how to liberate themselves from the shackles of material life, especially, and he said that is especially the attachment to women. And he's saying that actually materialists just become playthings in the hands of attractive women. So we see, like, there are so many highly educated people in this world. And even in Prabhupada always used to question that where is the department on your universities? We have science, we have Bachelor of Science, you know, so many streams. If you go to Open Day or you visit these universities, you will see they offer so many streams of education. Arts, history, science, geography, so many, mechanical engineering, mechatronics, computer science, like every aspect of material existence is, and material knowledge is taught in universities. But Prabhupada says, where is that university department which is teaching about the knowledge of the soul? So forget about, you know, further, you know, teachings on how to be detached from this material life. Universities are not even addressing the basics of human form of existence, which is the difference between the body and the soul. And Prabhupada was very unhappy about this. He always used to challenge during his conversation, especially with college professors and all, he always used to challenge this, that where is that knowledge? Who is teaching that you are not this body, but you are a spirit soul? There is nobody to teach that. Even though there are so many proofs, especially of reincarnation, like so many doctors have published videos of their patients who actually remembered their past lives, which is a proof that everything doesn't end at death. We have come from a previous life and we will go into the next life. So we are, the same person is continuing, but just changing bodies. Recently someone had shared a video about, you know, a little child who was 3 years old and he was actually a victim. He died in the 9/11 crash, which happened in 2001, the Twin Towers crash which happened. He was one of the persons who actually jumped out of the window, the burning buildings. He jumped out and he died. And he actually, this three-year child remembered who he was, he remembered his name, he remembered that whole experience. And then people had to believe that yes, he's actually reincarnated in this lifetime. Because he was not even there during 2001. This is a recent story. So there were a few years which passed and then he was born again, and, you know, this 3 or 4 year child has narrated his whole experience. But so many proofs are there, but still people do not believe, and there is no university department which teaches about all this. In fact, Sridhar Maharaj says, you know, a very famous quote which Prabhupada also quotes very often. He says that there is no joy like detachment and there is no misery like attachment. So one who is attached, Prabhupada is continuously talking about that in the purport as well, and Prahlad Maharaj is also saying, one who is attached to his family, to his children, to his grandchildren, wife and all that, is actually in the path of misery. He's already miserable, he might not be realizing, but he's actually on the path of misery. In fact, Prabhupada once, I think, was in Mumbai. And in Mumbai, Prabhupada had started this whole program of life membership. Like, he was trying to gather life members so that, you know, he has funds to open the temple, and that way he was trying to enlist people's support in the Krishna consciousness movement, which was in its nascent stage in India at that time. So he used to visit different life members' houses. They used to get invitation from all these pious people who wanted to support Krishna consciousness. So they were pious, but obviously they didn't have the knowledge of the highest goal of life. So one such life member's house Prabhupada visited with his disciples, and he was an elderly gentleman who had exhibited some interest in supporting ISKCON at that time. So that when they went there and they were all seated, he had greeted Prabhupada very nicely, welcomed him as a sadhu should be welcomed in the house. And then that elderly gentleman started calling all his family members. He first called his wife and introduced her to Srila Prabhupada. Then he called all his sons and daughters and introduced them to Srila Prabhupada. Then he called his grandchildren and introduced them. And he had great-grandchild also. So he called the great-grandchild and he introduced him also to Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was very great. You know, Prabhupada was very gracious in these matters. So very graciously he met everybody. But later on, he told his disciples, when they were going back to the temple in their car, he said that that man was just demonstrating his sex life. So Prabhupada is also corroborating this fact that one who is very attached to his family, grandchildren, children, wife and all that, he is nothing but he's shackled by sex life. And no amount of material education is going to teach them. Where is it in the schools? We know our children go to our local schools, primary schools, secondary schools. In fact, they are given sex education. And they are taught how to practice safe sex. That is what these children are taught. There are many, you know, brahmacharinis whom I was talking to who have been in our temple for years. And they said that even their parents used to tell them. You know, one brahmacharini, Mataji, was there. She was saying that, now I'm thinking, like, you know, I lost respect for the way my mother brought me up because she didn't set any boundaries for me. She told me that even if you're, you know, for example, you know, you're getting intimate with a boy or with a boy, just practice safe sex. That is the boundary the mother put. Rather than refraining or restraining from that activity, she just says that don't become pregnant. And that is what we see. That is the education which is imparted in schools, sadly. Instead of telling children that no, you should refrain from sex, it is a shackling experience in this material world, the opposite education is given. And hence, what do we see? A product of these, you know, schools and universities who are, you know, just getting this material knowledge but no exposure to spiritual knowledge, they become highly educated, but we see them succumbing to this low desire, this, you know, desire, the attraction to the opposite sex. In fact, Kapila Dev says in his teachings to Mother Devahuti, in the third canto, he says that the attachment to woman is definitely detrimental in this material world, what Prahlad Maharaj is also saying here. But he's saying attachment to a man who is attached to a woman is even more detrimental than direct attachment to a woman. And why is he saying that? Because we know that there are people who are addicted to all these lower kinds of enjoyment in their lives, and they don't want to have that guilty conscience. And what do they do? Therefore, they try to enlist more people into their circle. They try to have, you know, take more people and influence more people to become like them, so that their conscience will be less guilty. Because then they will see, oh, there are so many people who are like this in the world. And therefore Prabhupada says, and Kapila Muni says, that it is more dangerous to be attached to men. So you might claim, oh, I am not attached to women, I don't follow that particular vice. But if you have friends who are attached to women and who are following that lifestyle, they are going to drag you down. They are going to drag you down in this deep dark well. And what Prahlad Maharaj is saying, you know, these men are just playthings in the hands of attractive women. And therefore Kapila Muni warns of this dangerous association of such men. And we see, you know, the products of these highly educated people, we have seen so many people have lost their careers, have lost their credibility in the society, and they are highly placed people, very famous personalities, so-called materially famous personalities, have succumbed to this and they've lost everything. They are in jail. A few years ago, there were headlines in the Age newspaper, and you know, in our office also people were talking. There was a famous Hollywood producer who had a company called Miramax, and he was Harvey Weinstein. And there were so many years, 64 years old, and such an old man, at that age also, he was molesting women. And he had so much wealth. So this whole thing was there in the headlines. The New York Times, I think, did a whole, they exposed him. They interviewed lots of women who were, molested by this woman, by this man, and they published all these interviews. So he had so much money, obviously he's a Hollywood producer, so he had so much money at his disposal that he became very arrogant because of that. And he thought he could make women do whatever he wants to do. And there were so many charges against him about rape, sexual misconduct and all that. And he was just settling, you know, it's called out of court settlement. So with these women, so they don't open their mouths, he would settle, he would give them huge amounts of money, in actually, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. But he would sign an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement with them, where they couldn't open their mouth in the future to any press or anybody else about the experience they had to. So he would buy their silence and he would not want them to do anything. And that way his activities were continuing unchecked. But then this newspaper completely exposed him, and then ultimately his, you know, the company sacked him, the board of directors sacked him, and he's in jail currently. And he has so many charges of sexual misconduct. And we have, you know, because of this person's exposure by the media, there were many workplace policies that were later on introduced to protect women in the workplace from such sexual misconduct. But we see such, he was at, in such a high position, so much wealth at his disposal, but he was misusing his power and his position. And his attachment to women has now landed him in jail. So he was 64 or something, or 65 something when he was arrested, and he has 23 years of imprisonment in front of him. So practically till he dies, he's going to be in jail instead of the big Hollywood mansions that he was living in. Many other examples, the presidents of country, we know in US, Bill Clinton, the president of the country, was charged with having, you know, intimate relations with another woman. There are, you know, heads of companies, like the head of Infosys, he was a person called Phaneesh Murthy. So he was also sacked by his company because there were complaints against him for, you know, inappropriate conduct with women. So he was sacked by one company and then he joined another company. But because the spiritual education is not there, and because that sense of detachment, the knowledge of detachment from these activities and vices is not there. So this Phaneesh Murthy is actually IIT. I'm sure most of you know about the IIT in India. It's a very prestigious engineering institute. And he also had done his management studies, MBA from IIM. That is also another very prestigious institute to study your management studies. So from two of the most prestigious universities. So obviously his material education was top class. Like nobody could match or compete with that material education. But the spiritual basis was completely lacking and he had no knowledge. So one company sacked him for, you know, sexual misconduct. He joined another company again at a high position. He was the CEO. And again he was sacked for the same reason. So, you know, people don't learn their lessons because they do not have knowledge of this particular thing. And that is why if we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Prabhupada is continuously talking about that, following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also constantly used to tell us about this particular aspect. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, you know, he came to spread the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He came to spread the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam so that all of us can then follow in his footsteps and follow in the footsteps of great acharyas, and we can all have this knowledge which is required to be detached from all these particular vices and detached from the material existence, from family, friends, wife, children, everything. So today is actually the disappearance day of two famous personalities. It's the disappearance day of Swarup Damodar Goswami and also the disappearance day of Shivanand Sen. So speaking of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to open the storehouse of prema for all of us. So not only did he spread the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which is the Yuga Dharma, he came to establish the Yuga Dharma, but he came to give us the highest goal of life, prema pumartho mahan. And even in that, he actually came to give us the highest level of this prema. which was Vraja Bhakti or Madhurya Ras, the love which the gopis headed by Srimati Radharani had for Lord Krishna, especially in the Vipralamba Bhava, in the mood of separation. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was constantly telling us about Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Das Das Dasanudas. He used to tell us, his teachings were following in the footsteps of the gopis. We have to cultivate the mood of becoming the servant. Das Das Dasanudas. Becoming the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. However, you know, we hear these instructions, but we do not have access to the gopis. We do not have access to understanding how to actually be Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor. How to actually implement that in our lives. So we have the philosophy given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of Vraja Bhakti, of making the gopis as our ideal in terms of Madhurya Rasa and then following in their footsteps. But we actually practically do not know how to do that. So the Lord is again very merciful, and therefore He sends His intimate associates to descend in this material world to set a practical example for all of us. And Swarup Damodar Goswami was one such eternal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who actually advented in this world, and he was none other than an incarnation of Lalita Sakhi. So that is why these gopis descend, and then they are teaching as Goswamis who just appeared a few hundred years ago. They are setting an example for us to how to, you know, to imbibe this teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Das Das Dasanudas. So, you know, in some scriptures it is said that Swarup Damodar Goswami was Lalita Sakhi, and in some scriptures it was said that he was an incarnation of Vishakha Sakhi. So both statements are there in the scriptures. However, we know that he is an incarnation of one of the gopis, one of the principal gopis of Lord Krishna. And he was obviously an intimate ear in this material world during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. He was one of the most intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we'll talk a little bit about Swarup Damodar Goswami's life and what was his role in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. So his previous name was Purushottam Acharya, and he was actually born in Navadvip. He had the great fortune to be in Navadvip during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, when he was doing the Sankirtan pastimes in Srivas Thakur's house and all. Swarup Damodar Goswami, when known as Purushottam Acharya at that time, was a witness to all these pastimes. However, it is said that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, so he was very attached to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, Purushottam Acharya almost became like a madman. He couldn't bear that separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Navadvip and went away when he took sannyas. So he couldn't bear that separation. Obviously, he was in the mood of a gopi, so he couldn't bear that separation from his Lord. And therefore, he also ran away from Navadvip. He ran away from his home and he went to Varanasi. And over there, he also accepted sannyas, following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from a person called Chaitanyananda. So he accepted this sannyas, but he did not accept the dress, the external dress of a sannyasi. In his humility, he did not accept the saffron clothes or the danda and all that. And he still maintained his Brahmacharya name. And that therefore his name has the Swarup tag in front of it, because he maintained that Brahmacharya name with him. And his Guru Chaitanyananda actually ordered him. He told him that you study the Vedanta very deeply and you teach it to others. So following the instructions of his Guru, Swarup Damodar Goswami actually studied the Vedas and all the scriptures very deeply. In fact, it is said that he was such an expert. He was so expert in all these scriptures that he was almost like Brahaspati. He was compared to Brahaspati for his expertise in all the scriptures. However, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he maintained a lot of gravity. He would not expose this particular expertise that he had in the scriptures to anybody. And he would just be silent and remain alone most of the times, because he was internally feeling so much separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he came to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to Puri, to reside in Puri. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gone on South India tour, and then he had come to reside in Puri. And he made Gambira in Jagannath Puri as his residence for the rest of the time that he was manifest on this earth planet. So when Swarup Damodar Goswami came to know of that, he actually went to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was so happy internally. So he went to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he actually had a beautiful meeting with him. And this beautiful meeting is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela. There is a very nice description of the union of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar Goswami. So he offered beautiful prayers glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which have been recorded in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela 10.119, and also they have been given, recorded by Kavi Karnapur and Chaitanya Chandrodaya Natak. So there also it has been recorded. And in this prayer, you know, he composed this prayer just on the spot for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but because he was such an expert, this prayer has actually been described as describing the 10 characteristics of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is what Swarup Damodar Goswami did when he composed this beautiful prayer. So there is a very nice article which has been written by Gaurang Darshan Prabhu. It was published in the Back to Godhead some time ago. And there he glorifies this prayer of Swarup Damodar Goswami and the 10 characteristics which Swarup Damodar Goswami glorified in his prayer. So the translation of this verse is, let there be Chaitanya mercy. Okay? And it says, Shri Chaitanya Daya Nidhi Tava Daya Bhuyad. And that mercy which drives away material lamentation. So that's the first characteristics of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that it drives away material lamentation. It purifies everything. Vishadaya means it purifies everything. It awakens transcendental bliss. That's number three. Pronmilat Umodaya. The fourth one characteristic is it mitigates the disagreement of the scriptures. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy does. It mitigates all the disagreements. There might be some contradictions in the scriptures, but just his mercy mitigates these the vivad which can happen because of scriptures. The fifth characteristic is that it distributes all transcendental mellows, rasadaya. So it gives us glimpse of the highest rasas. The sixth one is it causes jubilation of the heart, chitta arpita unmadaya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy gives us that happiness in the heart. The seventh one is it always stimulates devotional service, shashwat bhakti vinodaya. It stimulates the devotional service in the heart of a jiva. The eighth mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is along with full ecstasy and joy. So it arouses devotional bhakti in our hearts, and also full ecstasy and joy. It gives an experience of that. The ninth characteristic, it glorifies the limit of amorous love, which means madhurya maryadaya. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach us about, madhurya ras, highest rasa following in the footsteps of the gopis. And it awakens good fortune, amanda udaya. It awakens good fortune in the heart of everybody. So this is a poem which he composed on the spot, glorifying the 10 characteristics of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And it has been very nicely described in these two scriptures. So once he offered his danvars, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Swarup Damodar Goswami at that time. And he actually told him, he said that today I had a dream in the morning. And in that dream I saw you coming back to me. And everything was so good in that dream because you were returning back to me. And it was as if a blind man has got his eyes back. That is the happiness that I'm feeling. I'm so joyful that we are reunited again. And I have become very happy now. So hearing this prayer, Swarup Damodar Goswami became very embarrassed because he had also run away from Navadvip and gone away and taken sannyas. So he again offers another beautiful prayer which exemplifies the four characteristics which a prayer should have. So a prayer should have four characteristics. It should have glorification. It should have confession, like, you know, confessing of one's guilt or one's fallen position. It should express gratitude in the prayer. And there should be supplication. That means begging for one's particular desire to be fulfilled. But if we see nowadays when, you know, people offer prayers, especially most of the population doesn't offer any prayer. They don't recognize any higher authority at all. But when people offer prayers, they straight away go to the last part, which is supplication. Oh Lord, please give me this, please give me that. Do this for me, do that for me. So it is all about, you know, praying for how the Lord can fulfill one's desire and wants and needs. But they forget the other three aspects, which is the first there should be glorification, then there should be confession, then there should be gratitude, and then only supplication should follow. But Swarup Damodar Goswami offers this beautiful prayer, again described in the Madhya Leela. He says, "O Lord, please forgive me. Forgetting you, I deserted your lotus feet. Not having any prema within me, I left your service. And being sinful, I went away to a foreign land. But although I abandoned you, you didn't abandon me at all. By ropes of your mercy, you bound my neck and you dragged me back to the shelter of your lotus feet. Please accept me." So this is the prayer Swarup Damodar Goswami offers. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart melted when he heard this prayer, which was full of humility of Swarup Damodar Goswami. So Swarup Damodar, and he accepted Swarup Damodar Goswami as one of his very, very intimate associates. So Swarup Damodar Goswami always stayed very close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then when Ramanand Rai also joined Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri, he came from Vidyanagar and he joined and he stayed with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was as if Lalita and Vishakha had come back to Lord Krishna. They were the two most intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it is said that in Jagannath Puri also, during the day, the Lord would engage in kirtan pastimes and all. But in the night, he would have intimate pastimes with these two great personalities, Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramanand Rai. There would be exchange of such intimate rasa and mellows. Only with these two personalities, the Lord would do that. And Swarup Damodar Goswami, we already discussed how he was compared to Brahaspati, because he was so intelligent and well-versed in the scriptures. But not only that, he also understood the internal mellows of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart. He knew Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart and what was exactly what mood the Lord was going through. That is something which Swarup Damodar Goswami only could understand. And you know, sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be in different moods on different days, and exactly understanding what is there in the Lord's mind, Swarup Damodar Goswami would compose beautiful songs. And he would sing those songs. He was such an expert singer. So in terms of singing, Swarup Damodar Goswami was actually compared to a Gandharva. So like a combination of Brihaspati and a beautiful singer, a Gandharva. That is what Swarup Damodar Goswami's skills and talents were. So he would compose these beautiful prayers. He would compose these beautiful kirtans just to augment that mood which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was experiencing at that particular time, so that the Lord's ecstasy would increase more. That was the role Swarup Damodar Goswami used to play. And because he was an expert in understanding the Lord's heart, he was almost like the censor board. You know, in movies we have censor board, which they censor out any unwanted scenes or anything which should the public should not be exposed to. So in the same way, Swarup Damodar Goswami played that role in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. So whenever anybody wanted to present, like there were so many people who would compose nice things or write some good things, and they would want to present it to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they would all have to go through this censor board. And Swarup Damodar Goswami would first assess it. So there was a very, like a simple Bengali poet who had come to Puri, and he had composed a nice poem. And another Vaishnava brought him to Swarup Damodar Goswami, and he said he has composed such a beautiful poem, we should allow him audience of Swarup Damodar Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Swarup Damodar Goswami said, yes, yes, but first let him read it to me. And when he read the poem, he actually saw that there was some Mayavadi philosophy which was there in that poem, and it was talking about how, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the soul and Jagannath is the body, and you know, such a poem was there. So a person who doesn't have a discerning eye would feel that, oh, this is such a beautiful poem where, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is spoken about as he is Lord Jagannath. But if you go to, like, you know, Swarup Damodar Goswami used to analyze the intricate meanings, the hidden meanings, and he actually chastised this particular poet. He said, what is this you've composed? Lord Jagannath is the Lord of the universe and you're calling his, you know, body as, you know, in this material world, and you're saying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the soul of that body and all that. What are you talking about over here? So he actually chastised this poet, and he saw that the poet became very upset. So this poet was actually a simple Vaishnava. He just didn't have the training of how to serve the Lord properly, but his intention wasn't bad. It wasn't that he was a pakka Mayavadi who did not believe in the form of the Lord or something. So then Swarup Damodar Goswami saw that this poet had become very crestfallen. So then he became soft So like Prabhupada also, you know, Prabhupada used to be hard as a thunderbolt when something had to be taught or training had to be given, but he was also soft as a rose petal. So he became very soft and he said, okay, I will show you how to, you know, compose poems. And that's when the poet, you know, took that training and then he became very good in composing beautiful poems for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So like that, anything had to go through Swarup Damodar Goswami before it was presented to the Lord, because he knew the Lord's internal heart and he knew how to please the Lord very nicely. And in the future years, when Raghunath Das Goswami came to live in Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed Raghunath Das Goswami under the shelter of Swarup Damodar Goswami. He said, Swarup, you take care of Raghunath Das Goswami because he is very dear to me. He was one of the six Goswamis as we know. And Raghunath Das Goswami accepted Swarup Damodar Goswami as his guru and he was completely trained by Swarup Damodar Goswami. So we owe a lot, actually, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we owe a lot to Swarup Damodar Goswami, because he was the one who recorded all the pastimes of the Lord when the Lord was in Jagannath Puri. So the post-sannyas pastimes were all recorded by Swarup Damodar Goswami in his diaries. The childhood pastimes, like the Navadvip pastimes, were recorded by Murari Gupta, and that then became Chaitanya Bhagwat by Vrindavan Das Thakur. But the post-sannyas pastimes, especially the pastimes in Jagannath Puri, were very nicely recorded in Swarup Damodar Goswami's diary. So after Swarup Damodar Goswami left the world, Raghunath Das Goswami was, obviously for him, he couldn't bear separation because the Lord had already left and now his guru had also left. So Raghunath Das Goswami was almost contemplating suicide because he couldn't bear to live without these two personalities in the world. But then to mitigate that separation in his heart, he decided to go to Vrindavan from Puri and to associate with the other Goswamis who were there. And then on the request of the other Goswamis, Raghunath Das Goswami, because they said, you have been with Swarup Damodar Goswami who has witnessed all the pastimes of the Lord in Puri. Many of us were not there when the Lord was performing these pastimes. So I think now your role in this Leela is to actually narrate these pastimes to all of us. Let that become the mission of your life. So Raghunath Das Goswami, you know, taking that instruction to heart, every day on the banks of Radha Kund, he would sit and he would narrate, he would read from Swarup Damodar Goswami's diary and he would narrate all these pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. And who was sitting in that audience listening to all these pastimes was none other than Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And that's how the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita came to be written. So that is why we as Gaudiya Vaishnavas owe a lot to Swarup Damodar Goswami, because we got the jewel of Chaitanya Charitamrita only because of his mercy. Because Raghunath Das Goswami learned from Swarup Damodar Goswami, who then recited, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami learned from Raghunath Das Goswami. So these are some of the these are some very nectarian things about Swarup Damodar Goswami. And in the next 5-7 minutes, we'll talk about Shivanand Sen, whose disappearance day is also today. So Shivanand Sen was also another intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was present. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Puri, he actually used to live in Navadvip. And his main role in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes was to take all the devotees on yatra, because every year the devotees would go from Navadvip, would go to Jagannath Puri to visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his main role was to take all these devotees on that yatra. And we know how much, you know, we organize some yatra, even some, you know, retreats that are organized. We know so much of organization is required. So many things have to be arranged, the venue has to be arranged, prasadam has to be arranged, audio-visual equipment has to be, like so much has to be arranged for even a small two-day retreat. But during that time, when Shivanand Sen used to help organize this travel of the devotees from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri, there was no any transport as well. There were no trains or all that. They all used to go on foot. So it said it would take them almost a month to reach Jagannath Puri from Navadvip. And the Bengal at that time was ruled by Muslims, although Puri was ruled by Hindu kings, but Bengal was ruled by Muslims at that time, and there were so many obstacles which they would face while traveling from Bengal to Puri, from Navadvip to Puri, and all these aspects Shivanand Sen used to take care of, so the devotees can just peacefully travel, thinking about the Lord, discussing Bhagavatam and doing Kirtan and go to reach Jagannath Puri. There used to be some toll nakas when they used to cross borders of different cities. So he used to take care of all these things for the devotees, and he would also sponsor so many things. He used to use all his wealth in the service of all these devotees. So initially this service was actually being done by Vasudev Dutt, who was another intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Vasudev Dutt was so liberal and he was so magnanimous that he would, whatever he was earning, he was spending everything on all the Vaishnavas, and his own family did not have anything to survive on. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Shivanand Sen that you take over finances of Vasudev Dutt, you guide him how to spend his money. And from that time onwards, Shivanand Sen took over that service also of organizing the yatras, so that Vasudev Dutt wouldn't spend up all his money on all that. So there are two beautiful pastimes which happened when Shivanand Sen used to organize these yatras. So one pastime was when he was going on this yatra, obviously he used to arrange, like we said, all these clearances from the toll nakas and all that, and he had to arrange the venues because they would stay in different places while traveling during that month. So he had to arrange the venues for everybody to stay, he had to arrange for prasadam for everybody. So once he got held up at a toll naka, and you know, the person who was at the toll booth was giving him some trouble, so he faced that obstacle, because of which he got a bit delayed in arriving at the venue, and all the devotees had already proceeded to the next destination. And Lord Nityananda was also there in that party. And Lord Nityananda and, you know, the associates were sitting under a tree, and Nityananda Prabhu was waiting for prasadam, because there were quite a few hours which elapsed because Shivanand Sen was held up and there was no arrangement for prasadam at that time. So Nityananda Prabhu had become very angry. And when Shivanand Sen arrived over there, he saw that his wife was crying profusely. And he goes and asks his wife, he said, "What happened? Why are you crying so profusely?" And she said, "Oh, because you were late and there was no arrangement for prasadam." Lord Nityananda became very upset because he was very hungry and he just had to wait under the tree. So he has given a curse that all our three sons will die. And that is why she was crying profusely. And, you know, like we said, you know, these great personalities, the gopis and all, come down just to set an example for all of us, how we can follow in their footsteps. So Shivanand Sen was, he just took it in the right mood, even though Lord has cursed for his children to die. And here Prahlad Maharaj is saying detachment from children, because the greatest attachment is people have what to their family, children, grandchildren, wives and all that. But here Shivanand Sen is showing us that example of how he was completely detached from all this and more attached to the lotus feet of the Lord. So he actually told his wife, he said, "What is there to cry in this? I have actually offended the Lord. I did not keep prasadam ready for him in time. And when we offend great Vaishnavas, obviously we have to get a reaction. So it is good that the Lord is giving us this reaction. You please don't cry at all." And same mood was exhibited by Srivas Pandit. When his son also died during the kirtan, he told his family members that don't lament loudly inside the room. No sound should come outside because it will disturb Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan. So these are the exalted devotees who were the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Shivanand Sen then went to Nityanand Prabhu. He begged forgiveness from him. He said, "My Lord, please forgive me that I got delayed and your prasadam was not arranged in time." So he went and begged forgiveness, and Lord Nityananda actually kicked Shivanand Sen on the head at that time. And you know, that made Shivanand Sen even more happy. Now, you know, if we examine in our lives, if we see that everybody, you know, any service that we do, we always want some recognition for our service. We might not be eager, like, you know, sometimes we have to introspect in our heart, like sometimes we just want to hear that glorification, or, "Oh Mataji or Prabhuji, you did this service so well." Or sometimes we might just be wanting a validation, that, yeah, you are doing, you know, that encouragement from other Vaishnavas that, yes, you did your service very well. And from that mood also, we might sometimes ask, hope everything was okay. Like, we might have made some arrangement for prasadam or something. So hope everything was okay. So we always want some glorification or validation from Vaishnavas. But Shivanand Sen used to organize these yatras day after day, year after year he used to organize. And at the end, he's getting this kick from Lord Nityananda for one lapse. That on one of the days he was a bit late, and that too he was paying tolls, and that's why he got delayed, and he's getting a kick from Nityanand Prabhu. But Shivanand Sen did not take it in that mood. He became so happy and he said, "My Lord, today you have accepted me as your servant, and that is why you are taking the liberty to chastise me. Otherwise you wouldn't have chastised me if you considered me somebody who is not in your intimate circle. Like Prabhupada always says, no, that when you want to, he says to a mother, for a mother-in-law, when she wants to teach her daughter-in-law something, or she wants to chastise the daughter-in-law, she should actually chastise the daughter. And that way the daughter-in-law will learn. So that is because, you know, you are more intimate with your daughter and she will not take you wrongly if you are chastising or instructing your daughter. But the daughter-in-law is external. She might feel bad if you say directly something to her. So like that, only when somebody is in our inner circle, we take the liberty to chastise. And that is what Shivanand Sen was feeling very happy about. That he was accepted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as if he is in the inner circle. And therefore he was chastised by Nityanand Prabhu. So he begged forgiveness, he served Lord Nityananda very nicely, and obviously his children were not, they didn't die. Obviously Nityananda Prabhu was not meaning that curse, but he just pronounced it in his anger. In fact, Shivanand Sen's, you know, one of his glorious sons is none other than Kavi Karnapur, whose books we refer, who composed the Gaur Ganodesh Deepika and Chaitanya Chandrodaya Natak, and all these beautiful books Kavi Karnapur has written. He's the son of, glorious son of Shivanand Sen only. And on another pastime of Shivanand Sen during the yatra was, you know, with a dog. So this dog was traveling with the yatra party, and Shivanand Sen was serving this dog very nicely, treating him as one of the pilgrims who was on the yatra. So he would take care of the dog's prasadam, he would take care of his needs, he would ensure the dog is safe and protected, and he's always traveling with them. And one Shivanand Sen had gone to arrange some boats or something because they had to cross a river. And when he came back, he saw that the dog was gone. It wasn't there. And he asked some of his servants that, where is this dog? And they said, oh, we don't know. He was just here. People were taking him as a casual dog and nobody was paying attention. So they didn't even realize the dog has gone missing. And then Shivanand Sen asked, did you feed the dog prasadam? And they said, no, we forgot. We were feeding all the other Vaishnavas, so we forgot. So Shivanand Sen actually sent some of his best men in search for the dog. For a long time they were going searching for the dog, but they couldn't find him. So he was very crestfallen because he was thinking, I couldn't serve a Vaishnava well who had joined us in this pilgrimage party. So then Shivanand Sen, when they reached Jagannath Puri, he was amazed to see that the dog was already there near Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was sitting at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he was eating the remnants. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was eating coconut and he was throwing the remnants of the coconut pieces to the dog, and the dog was eating those remnants. And then it is described the dog went back home, back to Godhead. Because the Lord is very pleased when, you know, he's pleased with someone who has served the devotee. So he was very pleased with Shivanand Sen, and therefore he sent the dog back to Godhead. In fact, it is said in the material life, you know, the lesser the layers between us and Krishna, we progress very quickly. But in spiritual life, the more the layers between us and Krishna, we progress very quickly. And therefore, you know, this teaching which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us, Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayor Das Das Dasanu Das. So becoming the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. So adding more and more layers between us and Krishna, that is what will attract Krishna's mercy more, rather than trying to directly serve Krishna, or there is always a race or competition to serve the guru when the guru comes. But if we are serving the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, that is where we will, you know, Krishna will be accepting us within his intimate circle, like he had done with Shivanand Sen. So we'll end the class here. Sorry, we went a little overboard, and we'll see if there's any questions or comments. You can start asking loudly, Prabhuji.
Okay. Can you explain what you mean about chastising the daughter-in-law and chastising the daughter?
So Prabhupada used to quote this often. The question is, can you explain about chastising the daughter-in-law by chastising the daughter? So when a daughter-in-law comes in the house, obviously she's come from another family, and the mother-in-law wants to teach something about what is the culture probably they are following, or what is the type of cooking they do, or how they do things in this house where the daughter-in-law has come to, then the mother-in-law might not be able to tell the daughter-in-law directly, because the daughter-in-law will feel bad. She's from another house. She's not lived with the mother-in-law. And therefore Prabhupada says the mother-in-law should actually instruct the daughter, as if she, you know, she said, you should cook like this, we don't put too much chili in our food over here, and you know, like that, as if she's instructing the daughter, and the daughter-in-law hears, and that way the daughter-in-law learns after, by hearing the mother-in-law telling the daughter-in-law.
That's very, very nice. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Attachment is the greatest misery in the world. And if someone has attachment for their kids, wives, their parents, they cannot get liberated. But we see in Bhagavatam, Ajamila, who was attached to his son, he was attached to his son, and that's how he got liberated. Because I was hearing in one lecture, the speaker said that he called Narayana very loudly because he was afraid that his son might get scared by seeing the Yamadutas, and that's how he got liberated. And if he hadn't said his name, then he would haven't got liberated. So how do we understand this?
So when we are talking about, and what Prahlad Maharaj is also talking in today's verse, he is talking about material attachment. You know, the example which Srila Prabhupada gave when he went with his disciples to see a life member. So that is material attachment, where you are very proud of how many, you know, children and grandchildren you have created. And, you know, if we are attached, so people are, you know, Prabhupada explains in the purport, people are attached to their children, and they are attached to wealth and how to expand their business or, you know, make more money in the material world. And they train their children also in that only. So we are in a cocoon actually, in ISKCON, in Krishna Consciousness Movement, we are in a cocoon. We are surrounded by like-minded devotees, we are surrounded by people who are aspiring to find the truth and pursue the goal of life. And therefore we don't sometimes realize that outside it's not like that. In the outside world, people are just training their children how to become, you know, successful in the material world, how to have a better job, how to have better income, how to have, you know, a good family and all that. And that is the attachment which is being spoken about by Prahlad Maharaj over here. So material attachment to, you know, people who are not interested. Because, you know, there's a verse which says, Deha Patya Kalatra Adishva Atma Saineshva Asatva Api. That, you know, at the time of death, these are all infallible soldiers. Deha Patya Kalatra Adishva. That means your own body is a fallible, they are fallible soldiers, beg your pardon. So your own body is a fallible soldier, your wife, children, they are all fallible soldiers. They will not be able to come and save you during the time of your death. But here we are talking, there it is being spoken about material. But if you have children who are, you know, already very nice devotees, or you are helping them towards the ultimate goal of life, then these are the same people who might come and help you during the time of death to remember Lord Krishna. So you see, that is why Prabhupada is talking, and Prahlad Maharaj are talking about attachment to on the material platform. But what Ajamil did was actually also on the material platform, but somehow by the mercy of the Lord, he had named his son Narayan. And the word Narayan, chanting the word Narayan helped him. So, and then it did not give him liberation straight away. It gave him another chance. So after that he realized the mistake he had done. The Yamadutas were stopped by the Vishnu Dutas, but not that the Vishnu Dutas took him back straight away because he chanted Narayan, because he had chanted his son's name. So he still had not developed love for God. So then he goes to Ayodhya, and then he perfects his life, and then he goes back to Godhead. So that is the attachment, between the difference between that attachment and this attachment.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji. You mentioned earlier that if we have friends who are attached to household life or to family, and if we're in association with them, they'll drag us down. But then obviously in this kind of modern society, even for devotees, it's kind of hard to refrain from, especially of our family members who are maybe are very attached to household life. So what's the best way to protect us from this kind of association?
So I know, Prabhuji, like with our family members, they might not be, some of them might be favorable, thankfully, but not practicing fully, but some of them might not even be favorable to Krishna consciousness. So, and we cannot not help associate with them. Obviously, they are our family, they've given us birth, especially our parents have given us birth, our siblings and all that. So we do have to have relations, but then we don't have to try to have too much of intimate relation with them, or try to be too much engrossed in what they are doing. And also to mitigate that particular, you know, that particular relationship that we have to maintain because they are our family in this lifetime, we increase our association of, you know, devotees who are actually on the path, the path which we are trying on, devotional service path. And that way, by increasing this particular association, this association will not affect our consciousness so much. So you are limiting this association. We know they are our family members. And obviously, when we associate with them, we are trying, by having deep compassion in our heart, we do try to somehow or the other, give them one step at, maybe at least make them vegetarians if they are not vegetarians, or at least make them realize that you are not the body, you are the soul, because that way we are step by step we are adding to their spiritual credits, giving them prasadam, taking them some nice prasadam and feeding them prasadam, exposing them a little bit to the holy name. So those are some of the things we keep trying to do with them, but at the same time we increase this particular on the scale, we increase this particular one, that way our consciousness is protected more from this side, and rather than getting affected from here.
Thank you. You mentioned before about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he kind of cleared up the contradictions in the scriptures. The contradictions in the scriptures, does that mean in Vedic scriptures? And are they actual contradictions or are they misunderstandings and
misunderstandings as well, yes, and different interpretations which people do based on their own understanding of the scriptures, based on which philosophical school they are coming from. So yes, those sorts of contradictions as well. And also sometimes you might see Vedas, because Vedas are written for people in the mode of goodness, people in the mode of passion, people in the mode of ignorance. So for all three levels, Vedas have been written. And therefore we might see some contradiction, because what has been written for people in the mode of ignorance will be contradicting with what has been written for the people in the mode of goodness. And yes, so there are apparent contradictions in the Vedas, but in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, by his mercy, these apparent contradictions are mitigated. That's what it means.
Nice, thank you.
Okay, we'll end the class here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you. Thank you.